The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
All right, welcome back. As we are, we just did some bracket talk.
Yep.
As the first fours are halfway done, we'll get more today, starting around 3 o'clock. And then all the madness begins on Thursday. Now, I told you over the weekend, you know, the Kings game started at 7. Mm-hmm. But right before that, what a lead-in. We had UC Davis.
Right.
They were on ESPN 2. Yeah. Had that on the TV. And other than the fact that they were playing a team with a guy named Sahonis, which was screwing with me the whole time because I'm in Kings mode, it was up and down, back and forth. Yeah. UC Davis had the lead at the half, just came up short at the end. And true to form, class act, of course he's going to come on. We've talked to him all year long, the wonderful coach of the UC Davis Aggies, who I'm sure are hurting, but also I hope are incredibly proud of a wonderful season, as heard right here on Sactown Sports. Coach Les joins us right now, who, and I know you don't care about this, but this is, I'm sitting there watching the game with my wife, Coach, and I don't know why. I've been in this business forever. We've known you forever. But every time they showed you on TV, I'm like, ah, it's Jim Les. And then my wife's like, we get it. He's, you know, been on TV before. But just we're all so excited for you. I know you fell short, Coach. But, I would imagine you're very, very proud of your team. Good morning.
Well, have you guys ever walked around with the feeling of a hangover, but you haven't had a drink? Yeah. That's been me the last few days, unfortunately. And I think you're right. I think when the dust settles and I get over it, you know, I'll look back at an incredibly connected group that had a really good season and did some awesome things. But when you get that close to the finish line and just come up a little bit short, you know, there's a lot of what ifs, and it's hard to accept.
Coach, I got to imagine one of the challenges, many challenges of coaching is your own goals and your own emotions too. Like, you obviously wanted to win. So when the game doesn't go your way, when it ends and you've got a group that's been together, like you said, and connected, they're probably looking for you to say something, but you're also hurting. Like, that probably had to be a challenge of what you first talked to the team about when the game ended.
Well, the emotion in the locker room was real. I mean, you're talking about, in particular, our seniors, extremely emotional. And, you know, it's a wave of, you know, that's your last college game. It's a wave of, you know, you had this opportunity and dream to play in an NCAA tournament. And it was just snatched from you. So it the words were along the lines of, you know, appreciation for what this group did. They allowed us to coach them. They allowed us to push them. They were unbelievable ambassadors for our university. You know, as much as we'd like to try and figure out why, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason, and sometimes you go through some adversity, or sometimes you have some shortcomings because it teaches you some life lessons going forward. And I didn't talk very long because I know, and generally my philosophy after games, and we've talked about this before, is, you know, the minds of the players are in 20 different places. So they're not really hearing anything, which is why this week we're kind of meeting individually and just, given our staff a chance to show appreciation for these guys, for what they did for our program, and kind of, you know, clear heads prevail. But, it was a very emotional locker room and one of the most emotional in 22 years I've ever been a part of.
Coach Jim Les, UC Davis, joining us. I think this is a fascinating part of the game and of your job, Coach. And I got to imagine, maybe one of the most difficult. Look, in the NBA, in any major league sport, you know, players come and go, free agents, this, that, whatever. But I got to think, Coach, it's got to be incredibly tough for a guy you've coached 3 years, 4 years, seen grow, had talks on the bus, had talks on the plane, know their family, recruited them, whatever it may be. And then you're going to have these conversations with them, whether it's after a win or a loss, you're going to have these conversations with them, knowing you're sending them out into the world, and you can't sign them to a 5-year max extension. This is it. And they'll come back and visit, hopefully, call you, coach, down the road. Hey, I'm getting married. Hey, I just have kids. I'm sure you've experienced that too. But I got to think that's got to tug on the heartstrings something fierce.
Yeah, it really is, because every day, you know, and it starts in the recruiting process. And by the way, that merry-go-round never stops. So we're, as much as you want to, you know, we want to pout and feel sorry for ourselves, we got to lace them up and get right back on the recruiting wagon, because the portal has opened and all that madness has started. So, and then you think about replacing these guys. But for the last, and it starts sometimes when they're juniors in high school, it's 5 or 6 years of a relationship that's built to the point where, you know, a college coach is interacting with these young people every day. And all of a sudden, you know, they're not there anymore. And that's a really tough reality. But as you said, Dave, the most satisfying is, over the years, past players being able to shoot you a text and, you know, coach, I remember when you said this, or, you know, I'm getting married, or I'm having a kid, or, you know what, I need some money. you run the gamut of all those things. I tell them that when they come to UC Davis, it's not a 4 or 5 year decision. It's a lifetime decision in terms of the relationships they're going to build, not only with the coaching staff, but with the other players. And, you know, some of my best memories are my time with my college teammates, and that's what we want to emulate here for our guys.
Coach, based on the wound, based on the recency, based on what you also just said, you got to get out and recruit and portal and all that stuff that's going on. Will you watch the tournament? Is it too fresh of a wound? Like, how will the next couple weeks go for you in regards to the tournament?
Yeah, I'll definitely watch. Just being, you know, with pad and paper, because, you know, there's just some outstanding coaches across the country, and as much as I want to be innovative, I'm probably better at stealing. So I just, I watch the games with the thought of, you know, hey, how are they defending that pick and roll, and you know, what kind of sets are they running to get their shooters open? Those are all things that matter. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I have some friends that are coaching, but other than that, it's really mainly watching it to try and grow as a coach.
Yeah, how many years has it been, you know, for fun, of course, but how many years has it been since you filled out a bracket?
Well, you know, we're not allowed to. So we usually do, you know, one just for fun within our offense within the coaching staff. And so we'll try and get that done today just for some bragging rights.
Yeah,
you know,
just for fun.
I would just tell you, it's a good thing I'm not a gambler, because I am a horrible picker. And, you know, people bump into me, hey, what do you think about this game? And then 2 weeks later, they go, are you sure you're a coach?
So what are the prospects looking like for next year? I mean, that's the reality. You know what? You said it, Coach. You already have to, you know, you don't want to move on this quickly, but you kind of have to. You have to get ready for the next season and recruiting and all that. How's that going in the stages of trying to get the Aggies even farther along next year?
Well, it does help. I think, you know, having some success this year and having some notoriety and being able to play some games on TV, you know, all that's positive, because you have all these kids, and I think the first day the portal opened was Monday, and there were already 400 and some kids in the portal, and that number's only going to grow. So you know, we have the unenviable task of replacing, you know, for example, a guy like Elijah Pepper, who scored over 2,000 points. He's the second all-time leading scorer in the Big West history, and was 15th or 16th in the country in scoring this year. So that kind of production is hard to replace. But it's also, you know, speaks to a little bit of our system when people you recruit and you talk about, hey, yeah, I know I've seen you on TV. I've watched Elijah. Well, that's the kind of production we're trying to replace. So it is intriguing. Now, the NIL thing gets involved, and it's madness a little bit. I don't like where college basketball is at. I think our leadership from the NCAA has failed us in guiding us through this wave of changes, but it is what it is. And, you know, our goal is to get back to that championship game and finish it off with a win. And that's the motivating factor going forward is, but we got to replace some really good players. And so far, the early conversations have been good. And, you know, we have a beautiful campus and school to sell. And we'll try and replace those guys as best we can and try and make another run next year.
Coach, I'm going to end our conversations with a little curveball, but one I know you can, I'm sure you can hit. I just honestly want some advice. Dad to dad, my son, I've told you before, you know, in passing, my son's a freshman. We are the antithesis of the parents that believe their kid's going to play in the NBA. My son just loves basketball, and he works hard. He just loves the game. He's always shooting. And, you know, at best, maybe he'll get to play at some – in some program past high school, and I'm talking blue sky. Now, he's been doing these workouts with his coach that they do every day, his freshman coach, and we love the guy. But he suggested to my wife the other day, and she brought it to me, that they're going to be doing an AAU team this summer, and would my son be interested in doing it? It's a traveling club, this and that. Now, let's see, it's 7:15. They're not listening. So just honestly, he's a starter. He's not, look, I just can't stress enough. He works hard, but we're not talking, you know, oh my God, this kid's great. I can't stress enough that he's just a good kid that likes to play, but he's not going to make any highlight reels. I am deathly afraid of AAU from what I've heard, from the stories I've heard. Like, that just seems like too hardcore of a scene, and I don't want to put any pressure on our kid. I just want him to have fun. But also, I've never done it. I've never been a part of it. So maybe I'm just being a little overprotective. I just wanted to know, you who's lived a life of basketball and I'm sure is familiar with just about everything, if you had any suggestions for me, just as a dad trying to do the right thing.
Well, and I do agree with your initial premise. You know, sometimes the AAU thing, and that's, you know, traveling around the country and just playing games, overwhelms these young kids, and they get away from being in the gym and the skill work you're talking about.
Yeah.
And to me, that's crucial. That has to be a priority, especially at a young age. Now, it becomes a family decision. I do think some exposure to playing against really good players out of your area, different parts of the country, it does give you some perspective of, hey, this is how hard I got to work, or there's a lot of good players at my age, or, you know, and they're athletic and they have size. So it does give you a perspective. So a sampling of that, especially as early as a freshman and sophomore, I think is good, because it can be a motivator of how hard you have to work. But really, until they're juniors and seniors in high school, it's less important, because for us, it is an avenue to be able to watch and scout and recruit. And so much of it now is more of the club teams than AAU. Unfortunately, I'm not saying that's a good thing. Sure. I'm just saying that's a reality. So to get that exposure, and I'm not just talking about D1. I'm talking about D2, D3, NAIA. Everybody's going to these tournaments and watching. So it does put your son in a position to be evaluated and give him opportunities to be recruited. So you have to do that, because less of it's around the high school. But I think in the early years, the freshman, sophomore, the priority has to be just the old fashioned, get in the gym, roll up your sleeves and work on your skill set, work on your ball handling and passing and shooting, and get that to a high level of skill. And that'll translate to those games where he's going to be noticed.
I appreciate that. That's great. That's why I love this job. Coach, gone are the days where I could just go with Coach Joe Belcastro from Mariloma up to the Siskiyous up in Weed, California, and do the week-long basketball camp for $300. Where have those days gone?
I used to go to the Ray Meyer basketball camp, and it was up in northern Wisconsin. It was a 7-hour bus ride on a rickety school bus, and we were up there. We were up there for 2 weeks, and the food was so bad. We used to beg for your parents to send you a box of just anything that was edible. But those were some of the best times of my life, and I remember them well. So you got to throw some of those in there. Throw some camps in.
Yes, 100%, Coach. What could we say? We appreciate you coming on, which we would say to anyone who comes on, but really just quality stuff from you this year. And I know it's early and you got a life, not just on basketball, but everything. Thank you for giving us the time. And I hope we can do the same thing next year, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Take care. That's Coach Jim Les. Love it. We'll take a break. When we come back, I've been thinking about that all. I had to throw that in there. And who better to get advice from than Jim Les? We'll take a break. Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings coming up next. And as we go to break, one of the issues is my son loves to shoot from outside, but it's him driving to the basket that he's a little hesitant, you know, because he's growing. And I suggested to him the other day, I'm not a basketball coach or anything, but if you want to improve your drives, what better place to do that in than Woodland, than Hoblin Dodge, which right now, it's Ram Truck Month, son. I can actually say that. It's Ram Truck Month, son. Hoblin Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Woodland. Save up to $16,500 off MSRP on the new 2024 Ram 2500 Laramies. One of the nicest and most capable trucks you can buy, and the biggest savings of the year. It's huge. They have over 200 available. Yeah, I said 200. That's a lot. So why choose Hoblin? Well, I'll give you a reason. They do things a little different at Hoblin. They're here to help you find the vehicle you need at the best possible price. That's why there's not a bunch of dealer markups, surprise add-ons, hidden fees. And they're now California's number one new Ram truck dealer. Basically, you get the small town experience at Hoblin with the big city savings and selection. So if you're looking for a truck, Hoblin should be your first and only stop. See their full selection at HoblinDodge.com. Unbeatable prices. Unbeatable selection. Nobody, and I mean nobody, beats Hoblin, period. We'll take a break. What will the Kings record be on this road trip? Rick Carlisle said something you might want to hear locally. And how will the road trip end? Three for Madness next.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right, Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rollot.
What will be the King's record on this road trip?
I think they go 2-1. We talked about this yesterday. I think they go 2-1. I know that's the easy answer. But you got Toronto, the Wizards, and Orlando. They probably should go on paper 3-0. I know they'll be favored in these first two games. I imagine it'll be close.
Yeah, Orlando has a slightly better record and a really good record at home.
Yeah, I imagine you're looking at Orlando 2.5, something, whatever. I think 2-1 is easy enough, so but we'll see. You never know with this stinking team.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 as well, and I don't even know what the order will be based on the way the year has gone, but I think it has to be 2-1. It's certainly much easier on paper than the next road trip. That's brutal. That's the only easy game, quote unquote, would be Brooklyn. But they have to go to New York. They have to go to Boston and OKC. So you got to do well on this one. And 2-1 needs to be the record or better. But I'll go with 2-1.
Okay. Question number two.
Question two.
Rick Carlisle said the following about his Pacers.
Yeah, it was a quote, and I've been looking for the audio. I can't find it. I don't know if there is audio, but Rick Carlisle said, you know, We've got to learn these lessons. It's becoming an old narrative. I'm paraphrasing. It's becoming an old narrative, a tired narrative amongst our players and our coaching staff that these are good lessons. We're learning lessons. We're learning on defense. We have to actually get out there and execute if we're going to take the next step as a team. And I read it, and I can't stress enough, I'm not taking any form of a shot at the defending stinking coach of the year. And Mike Brown, like, I love Mike Brown, and he knows what he's doing. But I swear to God, I read that quote, and I went, I just would love to hear that out of Mike at a press conference, because we've heard him talk about lessons throughout the years. Different teams, different personalities, certainly different coach personalities. But Rick Carlisle came out and just laid it down to the Pacers.
And the reality is, maybe you want to hear it, but let's say Mike Brown said that after, you know, what are the Kings' record now? 17-7, I think, against teams below 500. And so maybe the first or second time they lost. Like, we can't afford – this is a lesson we had to learn tonight. We can't have this happen again.
Right.
Well, it did happen again. So, I mean, I don't know. If you kind of go all in, even if you say it in an emphatic way, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. I think they all know. I think they realize it. I think it's difficult to not be in that situation. But. Yeah. That kind of separates the great teams, and I think the Kings are a good team, and they're just trying to get to that great spot.
Question number three. Sorry.
Question three.
The Kings will return home as the blank seed.
I actually think they're going to return home exactly where they are right now. I think they'll go 2-1. I think they're you know, the sixth seed. And then when you look at the situation right now, they are the sixth seed. They are percentage points ahead of the Dallas Mavericks, and they are a half game ahead of the Phoenix Suns. If you look at the Mavericks' upcoming schedule...
Yeah, they only have two, both with the Jazz.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got everything they're doing. Two with the Jazz, one home, one away, Thursday and Monday. And then they've got those two versus Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, they have two games, but one of them is next Monday. The Kings will play four games in that stretch.
And then Phoenix, them coming up again, being a half game behind Sacramento, Jason. They are at home versus Philly, at home versus Atlanta, and then Saturday and Monday at San Antonio. Let me rethink here.
Yeah, there's actually a chance it could get worse before it gets better, even though this trip doesn't seem daunting for the Kings. To me, it's all coming up to next week. Those two games with Dallas are going to be massive. Absolutely massive.
I mean, I know it's silly. We're going to be saying this a lot the rest of the year, but there's no doubt that so far, at least, those Dallas games are going to be the first true blue. Like, the Knicks kind of felt that way. These are going to be playoff games.
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to have that playoff feel.
It's the team, no matter almost, I mean, barring, like, the Kings going 0-3 and Dallas 2-0 on these games, like, then the Kings could be a couple back of them. Mm-hmm. But they still would be within reach. And so you got to figure it's going to be within a half game, one way or the other, come Tuesday. And so they play them Tuesday and, what, Friday of next week, whatever it is?
Yep.
Both here. They've already beaten them twice there. One win gives you the season series. That's huge. But if you get both, you gain two full games. I mean, that those two matchups are massive.
And if you see Luka around town, he's going to be in town basically all week, Monday through Friday. But offer him a meal. Buy him dinner. Buy him lunch.
Yeah.
Feed him. Feed Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
So he can plod around the court.
Yeah.
By the way, triple-double last night. Did you see the line on his shooting?
No.
Oof.
I think he actually was a personal worst, I guess you'd call it. Luka Doncic last night, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists. That's a good game.
Yeah, it is. Or was it?
6 of 27.
Thirsty.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we are all thirsty for Kevin Huerter updates. We got that and some numbers on Keon Ellis as well. In the meantime, I'm looking at my watch here, and you know what it tells me? My watch is painted with invisible ink.
Yeah, it's blue.
It tells me it's Wednesday. Yeah. That's hump day, middle of the week, all that. But you know what else it is? Wing day, Wednesday. Is that going to catch on? I don't know. Carmichael Dave here. For my good friends at Fire Wings, today is Wing Day Wednesday. What does that mean? That means, well, it's a good day to eat wings. Secondly, a great day to grab some wings and watch a 4:30 basketball game with your favorite local team here. Also, it means 88 cents a wing. Bone in, bone less, don't matter.
Oh, Dave, wings have bones. You can have a boneless.
Okay, fine. Then bone in or nuggets, whatever you want to call it, but they're not nuggets. We're not playing Denver. It's Wing Day Wednesday. In addition, you've got all the lovely sides, the ramen noodles, the garlic fries, the seasoned fries. Oh, my goodness. Nashville Hot Fire Chicken Sandwich, dial it all the way to 5. Good luck. But we're focused on wings today. And here's the thing. It's 7:28 in the morning. Right now, you can go online at firewings.com, make your order, and set it to pick up whenever. You want to eat at noon? Great. You want breakfast wings at 11? Great. Or 11:30. 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m., whatever. Just walk in, show your card you order it with, and walk out with a sack full of wings. Again, go to firewings.com. Find the location nearest you. Tell them Carmichael Dave sent you a Fire Wings. Just wing it. We'll tell you what we know about Kevin Herter. We'll take a deep dive on Keon Ellis. We'll do all that next.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Welcome back. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross, Chris Verlod behind the glass. Kevin Herter, what are they calling it, like a shoulder strain, whatevs. It could be a few games.
Yeah, I would think so.
It could be the season.
Yeah.
We don't know. They don't know that yet.
It's all severity, right?
That's exactly right. Shoulder popped out. Obviously, there's some issues.
Yeah. Did it get ligaments, though? Did it get some other, you know, who was it? Randall's been out.
Still right. Out. So it just really comes down to, I wouldn't say pain threshold. I think it just comes down to simply he has a left shoulder dislocation. You combine that with Trey Lyles' MCL sprain. Sasha Vezenkov has been upgraded to questionable for tonight.
Yep.
Again, as we said yesterday, most likely, I think Sasha will make an appearance on this road trip. We don't have any more updates on Lyles as far as
when it wasn't going to be for 2 weeks or so.
But it sounds like Herter's going to be out for a minute. And we'll continue to update that as much as possible. I think a lot of this is just how is it healing? How does it feel when he wakes up today?
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel when he wakes up tomorrow? Okay, well, if you feel good enough to start putting up, doing some stretching, then maybe some light shooting, then, you know, you got to
make progress.
But also, and we know this, I saw this article yesterday was talking about, and you got to be careful because this is one of those sources close to, but it's talking about OG Anunoby and how it talked to unnamed coaches and players and people that have played with him before, that OG Anunoby is not comfortable playing through pain. And I know on the surface it's like, oh, he's soft, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing, but also it may just be that he's not very effective playing through pain. Mm-hmm. Whereas others, there are people that have the ability to block it out. And I don't know for a lot of people if that's a choice. It's just everybody's built differently. My point is this. Kevin Herter may be a guy that you got to be near 100% to play. Or he may be a guy that's like, I'm 60%, but it's weird. These limitations are actually helping my shot. Maybe this is what I'm planning on. This is what I'm voting for. Maybe his shoulder dislocation is much like what happened in who's the rookie of the year? Where the kid fell and
Henry Roengartner.
Yes. He fell and lands on his shoulder. You hear the
bionic
crack.
Arm.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, he's throwing the ball to the catcher from center field. Yeah. Next thing you know, Gary Busey does something, and we're off to the races.
Chet the Rocket Stedman?
The fact that you've just got all this is fantastic. Seriously, we obviously want him back sooner rather than later, but it's a wait-and-see game right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, for him, it's the recovery. Hopefully it's not long, but we just don't know. For others, it's opportunity, and that's Duarte. I mean, we're going deeper. Yeah. Davion Mitchell and most likely Keon Ellis, who, you know, we got the stat where he is as a starter. His record's been impressive, but in the rotation, he's been a guy that, you know, when the season started and you run it back, and Keon was part of the run it back, but you're just – I honestly didn't think he would be a big factor on this team, and here he is. Maybe at the end of the year, could be one of the more important pieces.
And it's getting beyond coincidence or, hey, he had a great game or this matchup favored him. Yeah. He is 6-0 as a starter. That's not a massive sample size, but it's six games, and there were a couple really good teams in that situation. Let's take a look. Thanks to our good buddy, Sacktown Sports Kings insider Frankie Carticelli. Keon Ellis on defensive assignments against the Memphis Grizzlies. He guarded Desmond Bane. Remember, Desmond Bane had a great game.
Mm-hmm.
He guarded him for 7.5 minutes. In that 7.5 minutes, Desmond Bane was one of six with 4 points and had his shot blocked four times. Four of Keon Ellis's five blocks came against Desmond Bane in 7.5 minutes, which lends me to the question, why wasn't Keon Ellis guarding Desmond Bane for the entire game Desmond Bane was in the game?
Great question.
Just wondering. John Conchar. I always want to say Conchar because of Concac, but it was Conchac. Anyway, right?
It was Concac.
Was it Concac?
Conchar.
Yeah. Concac. Minute and a half. 0 of 2 with a block. Santi Aldama, Keon Ellis guarded him for a minute. 0 of 1. Gigi Jackson, Keon Ellis guarded him for a minute. 0 points on no field goal attempts. Jake LaRavia. I kept thinking they said Jake Arabia. 58 seconds, 1 of 3, 2 points. It's actually really good compared to everybody else. And Dejon Giroux, 46 seconds. Keon Ellis guarded him. No points, 1 shot, 0 of 1. That's
off night.
That is seriously off night. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. Where does Keon Ellis rank amongst Kings rotational players this season? I'm going to throw a lot of nerd things at you here. They're plus 1.3 defensive EPM. That's first. That's who he is. 41.6 DFG, first. As far as deflections per 48, 4.9, first. 2.5% steal percentage, second. 3.3% block percentage, third. So in a smaller sample size, he is the best defender on the team. Jason, I'm not done. Keon Ellis is holding opponents to 34.2% field goal percentage since the All-Star break. The only guards in the NBA ahead of Keon Ellis since the All-Star break, wait, there aren't any.
Yeah.
There are none. Zero. And that may be helping the Kings overall. In March, they are 6-3. They are sixth in defensive rating.
The Kings?
The Sacramento Kings.
Wow.
Not the LA Kings hockey team. They are seventh in offensive rating. They are sixth in net rating. And the one I know will make you very happy, they're shooting 80% from the line. That's good enough for 11th place. If they're able to keep this up for the rest of the season, including the playoffs, they're going to be a lot better than they were before.
Good take. No, but again, that's what we said earlier. Like all these ups and downs, if they do this to back up some of those numbers in what's the remaining part of the schedule, no matter where they finish, we'd all feel better about them going into the postseason.
They would,
right? Because
yes.
We'd be seeing improvement. I think the last 5 to 6 games, the defense has been better. I really do. I think it's visibly, but statistically it has too.
So you got to want, well, let's see. Emmanuel Quickley is out tonight.
Yes.
Actually, let me see. God, who did the Raptors? Let's we got a break.
I'll be starting what? Gary Trent, I'm sure.
Yeah, Gary Trent will start for sure. I want to see who their other, I can't remember who their other guard was that they started. Last game, they lost by 15 to the Magic. And they went with, oh, how could I forget? Sorry. Yes. Grady Dick.
Yep.
Started at one guard.
He missed the last time they played.
Yes. Emmanuel Quickley also started, but is out apparently tonight. Trent, Kelly Olynyk. You're going to have assignments for Keon Ellis. It's going to be exciting to see.
Absolutely.
And I am excited for the game tonight, 4:30, right here on the Sporty 1140. We will take a break. When we come back, hey, baseball opened today.
Woo!
Sort of.
Yeah.
We'll tell you about that, and we'll go around the league as well. In the meantime, though, I want to make sure that you know that you can get a diagnostic on your HVAC system right now for free. That's right. For my good friends at American Energy Heating and Air. I know they have a jingle. My jingle is good. I should be doing their jingles. 1981. That's how long they've been around serving the greater Sacramento area. Did you know that? Did you know they have an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau? Come on. And when it comes to saving money, they're inviting you to make the switch to electric this spring and save big. Stay ahead of the spiking energy bills we've all felt. This summer especially. It's going to be hot. up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD as well as spring specials by installing one of the many incredibly efficient AC options available to you now. Get rid of those up and down gas bills in the winter and switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. I'm kind of selling myself right now because I have solar. If I have solar and I get all electric, does that... Hey! These guys are the best. Learn more by calling at 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. We're back with a little bit of baseball and a whole lot more next. Baseball numbers here in just a second. Want to remind you as well, ELO tickets. Jeff Lynn's ELO coming up in the 9:13 segment. Katie will join us at 9. And coming up next, or not next, excuse me, at 8. Yeah, that is next. Hello. Brian Katz, former coach at Sac State. He is not only an author, he's also a tournament guy, and he's going to give us some thoughts.
Yeah, you know, from the coaching side, well, really, from he's a basketball guy too, yeah. So he'll... Maybe he'll have some of those numbers or metrics that you were giving us earlier. Those are interesting, detailed numbers.
Yeah, there's always some. You can always, like, the whole, like, oh, most teams wear blue when they win the title, you know, stuff like that.
Go by mascots.
You know, that's what my daughter does. Yeah. I mean, half the time she's right.
Yeah.
Hey, just want to go around to a few notes here. It's kind of a mishmash segment. There is a thread going around social media. What is the most insane thing ever said in an interview? And, you know, there's a lot of material there, but... This one caught my eye because it's sports related. I want to take you guys back to the Jim Rome show, which appeared on this station for many, many years.
I remember being here when it happened.
Were you here when that happened? I was listening in my car when it happened, and I remember it. I was on Marconi Avenue right near Eastern because I was going to the old Godfather's Pizza. I will never forget this. And you know, people say stuff, they exaggerate. Like, I almost drove my car off the road. I literally forgot that I was driving almost listening to the end of this clip you'll hear. Jim Rome was asking David Stern, the late commissioner of the NBA, about if the Patrick Ewing draft, you know, the long-standing rumor was that the envelope was frozen.
Yeah.
And that they could feel how cold it was, and they picked it, and the Knicks got the deal, got the player. Jim asks if it was rigged, and David Stern, with one of the all-time I'm a lawyer answers.
What is the fix in for the lottery?
I have two answers for that. I'll give you the easy one. No. And a statement, shame on you for asking.
I understand why you would say that to me, and I wanted to preface it by saying it respectfully. I think it's my job to ask because I think people wonder.
No, it's ridiculous, but that's okay.
I know that you think it's ridiculous, but I don't think the question is ridiculous because I know people think that.
Stop beating
your I'm not saying that I do, but I think it's my job to ask you that.
Have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair.
Why is that?
Now, what Stern, first off, that's a very serious topic.
Yes.
I'm laughing because what Stern's doing is the classic attorney trick where you ask a question in which, and he's trying to, in a way only David Stern could do back then. I don't know how that goes today. I really honestly can, sometimes I can guess pretty well how something would go today. I don't know how that would land today. I think it would land a little heavier.
Yeah.
But David Stern, in the way he only could do, was doing the old trick where you ask somebody a question, and regardless of the way they answer, have you stopped beating your wife yet? Yes. Oh, so you used to beat your wife.
Right.
Have you stopped beating your wife yet? No. Oh. And what Stern was doing, and see, the thing where I think David made the mistake there was, There are a lot of other things you could have chosen other than something that serious. But what Stern was trying to do and turn the tables on Jim Rome was just completely throw him off his game. Yeah. Now, say what you want about Jim Rome, good, bad, indifferent. Again, it was on the station for a long, long time. Jim Rome is not afraid. He does not get in. Jim Everett. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rome's not afraid of these moments. Yeah. He'll ask the questions. He doesn't care. That threw him.
Yeah.
And I miss David Stern. Well, again, he wasn't perfect. Love him, don't love him. Obviously, you know, we got a street named after him now. David Stern had his moments that were not great. And I think it's important anytime you look through history. Yes, Kings fans will always be indebted to him because without David Stern, this team's in Seattle. That is a fact. But David Stern's also the guy that implemented a dress code once upon a time for very questionable reasons.
Yeah.
I don't even think questionable reasons. And Stern was a guy that in a room full, we learned this during the relocation saga from many media members and other owners. David Stern was a guy that walked into a room with 30 gajillionaires that owned NBA teams, and he owned all of them. Mm-hmm. Even though he technically worked for them, he was the guy that swung the stick. And some of the stories that I heard, most of which I can't repeat, I know you've heard some too, about Stern during that entire process, is he could be incredibly charming. He would make you feel like you were the only one in the room, but he had a temper to him, and he had a way about him that was very, very serious and very, very intimidating, even though the guy was like 3'4", you know, and choked on his bottle of water.
That one gets me every time.
Every single time that gets me. And the one I always remember that someone told me, and again, this isn't confirmed, but I trust the individual. I trust them implicitly. Like, I know this is true. Yeah, but I have to stress, this is unconfirmed. This is a story I was told. It was somebody that was deeply involved in the entire process to build the arena. And one of the things that was I think the part of the conversation that was being had on the phone between David Stern and this individual locally was then Senate President, California State Senate President Daryl Steinberg, now the mayor, had given David Stern the assurances that he would get a bill passed in the California Senate that would effectively speed up the environmental process review for the arena, blah, blah, blah. So everything was looking like this thing was going to happen. And Stern was having this conversation like, look, I'm going to bat for you guys. I'm laughing because I'm still trying to figure out how to describe this on the radio. I'm going to go to bat for you guys. But it's based on a lot of you guys telling me that these things are going to happen. But I'm going to bat. I'm going to try to help you present and get a good, solid at bat yourselves. But if this doesn't happen, I'm going to fly out there. I'm going to cut off your... I'm going to wrap it around your neck, and I'm going to choke you to death with it. And then he laughed. And it's
good for Daryl Steinberg if he's able to do that.
And it's like...
No pressure,
right? And of course he kind of laughs and, you know, I'm just joking. Or am I?
Yeah.
And I remember in hearing this story shared with me, the person was like, did I really think he was going to do that? Of course not. But did he have a very unique and graphic way of getting his point across that this better happen
or else
yeah. He goes, I don't know what or else is, but I did not want to find out. And of course, or else never happened. And here we go. Thank goodness. Final numbers for Virginia last night, Jason, 28% shooting on twos, 17% on threes, 65% on free throws, 24 rebounds, 4 steals, and 1 block. No other Division I team in the last 25 years has had those stats or worse in a game.
Wait, what was the percentage on threes?
The percentage on threes, 17.6%.
Remember that stat I gave about Halliburton yesterday?
Oh,
he's less than that.
Oh, God. That's bad. Mm. I mean, we don't wish any of that on Tyrese Halliburton.
Trade to the right card.
Speaking of, real quick, before we give you the baseball scores and get out of here, here was Tyrese Halliburton, believe it or not, after a game. I think this was yesterday. I thought this was interesting. We've talked about this before. You'll hear the question. The audio is a little rough, but they're asking him, well, just listen to the question.
Have you spoken to the sports coach with the Pacers? And if so, like, what was that process like? Because as an athlete, you're super confident all the time, right? But there are moments where you might need to, like, just hear somebody's perspective on something that you, if you're going through, that's unique.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me, sorry about the audio. He was asked about speaking to a sports psychologist. Mm. That's the bottom line. Here's his answer.
I mean, I've done that for, you know, kind of the last couple of years. You know, it's been good for me, even when I'm not, I don't want to just talk to him when I'm struggling, you know, like, I think there has to be a conversation at other times too, because I think, like, I mean, obviously what happens on the court is what happens on the court, but like, just life in general, it's important, I think, for us as basketball players, as men, to get those things out, because not everybody cares to hear how we feel, or, I mean, that's just the point blank period. I mean, to half the world, I'm just, you know, helping them make money on DraftKings or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a prop. You know what I mean? Like, that's what my social media mostly consists of. You know, I think it's important for us to, like, have somebody to talk to. And, like, I think all that stuff is, like, it can be funny sometimes. If somebody's like, you know, I lost $1,000 there. I don't give a...
I'm sure they all get that.
The NBA, I think it was yesterday, announced they are now adding live betting to the in-game app. You can watch your game, and then they'll have prop bets on the side, regular bets on the side. You hit that, it takes you right to, I think, DraftKings or one of their partners, and you can make the bet instantly. Yeah, this is not only not going away, but
it's
going
to get worse.
As we continue to get in bed and make it easier and easier, not just for legal bettors, but let's be real here. A lot of 15 and 16-year-olds that got mommy or daddy's ATM card or something secret, one of those credit cards you can prepay, whatever it may be. You want to develop a good business, start opening up gambling rehab centers in all these different states. Sadly enough, that's going to be
good at business.
5-2, Dodgers beat the Padres in the opening game, not opening day of the year. Opening day is like in 8 days. 5-2 in Korea. Yeah. There you go. Shohei Ohtani, in case you're
hits.
Wondering. Yeah, had a couple hits, including one apparently like through the, it's like a foul ball through the roof, somebody was saying. Like, oh, just wow. A towering ball there. Nothing. I mean, Padres had a grand total of 4 hits with that lined up. Xander Bogaerts with 2. We'll take a break when we come back. Brian Katz, former Sacramento State's men's basketball coach, also wrote the book, The Road More Traveled, A Coach's View from the Bench, former mid-major coach of the year. We're going to get into the tournament more with Brian next.